We continue the shiur in Sichei Saran, Minazal, Sichei Saran, Sif Kuf Mentes, paragraph 149, which deals with the story of the Sipuri Mesias. In fact, we are on the story of Sipuri Mesias, the 13th final story of the Zion Betlers, the seven beggars, the seven tzaddikim. We are on the story of the third day, 7 days, during the 7 days of the feast, the wedding of the young couple to whom these seven betlers appeared. The story, the synopsis of the story until now, a brief synopsis of story has begun. Two children who were lost in the forest and who were saved by a succession of seven beggars who gave them food. These seven beggars all seemingly had physical defects. The children appreciated this. The seven beggars gave them a bracha, a blessing, that the children should be like them, should have these same physical defects. Then, years later, a match was arranged between these two children. At the wedding, the 7 days of feast, the children displayed a very strong yearning, craving to be able to be zechah, privileged to see these seven betlers again. Each day of the 7 days of the feast, one of these seven betlers appeared. The first day, the blind betler appeared, gave them the bracha, materialized the bracha by giving them as a gift his power. His power was living a very long life, a truly long life. The second betler, the deaf one, appeared on the second day. He gave them his power of living a very good life. We now come to the story of the third betler. On the third day, as mentioned, the young couple cried with a strong yearning and desire to see the third betler. Because of the fact that they craved it so much, they cried so hard, it was zecher to this kedusha of seeing this great tzaddik. Again, we mentioned the fact that the seven tzaddikim actually were the compilation of the seven sfidas. All seven combined into one tzaddik emes. And each sfida, each midah, each characteristic, he showed each time. He came in a different form each time. The third day, the midah of tiferes. So this third betler appeared suddenly. And he said to them, this third betler's defect was that he had difficulty in speech. And so it seemed. He stammered, he could not speak coherently. He came, he told them, I am here. And he fell upon them, he kissed them, and hugged them. He showed a close, deep ahava, which is the true character of a tzaddik emes. Tzaddik emes never shows a haughtiness, chas v'shalom, or remoteness. Those who want to come close to the tzaddik are taken close by himself, the greatest humbleness. So he said to them, at first when I met you when you were children, I gave you a bracha, you should be like me. Now I give you this as an outright gift, that you should be just as I am. What is meant just as I am? You have difficulty in speech. He said, but you think. It seems that I have difficulty in speech. Truth is, I have no difficulty at all, whatsoever. My speech is more clear, more coherent, more pure than any other person out in existence. It is only, why does it appear that I have difficulty in speech? Because I consider the speech, the words that are spoken in the world, those that have no bearing on Kedusha, those words that are not direct praise to Hashem, they are not complete. They're only half words. And therefore, it seems that I have difficulty in speech because I ignore those kind of words. I refuse to take any part in words that are not direct praise to Hashem. Therefore, it seems that I lack completeness, perfection in speech. Truth is, I have no difficulty with speech whatsoever. To the contrary, I am a marvelous speaker. In fact, I know how to eloquently give forth with the most beautiful songs, nigunim, and unusual type of combination of words, to the point, to the extent, where there is no person on earth who would not have the strongest desire to hear me, to listen to me. And I know, too, that through these special songs, combinations of words and songs, there are contained in them every type of wisdom in the world, which means that I possess every kind of wisdom that exists. Again, of course, this was not, Chas v'Shalom, said with pride or with conceit. This was said as a simple matter-of-fact statement. And he continued, I have the confirmation as to the, about this fact from that certain person, that certain very great person who was known as the true Ish Chesed, true person, tzaddik of great kindness. It's a very famous Ish Chesed, or the Ish Chesed, the tzaddik of chesed, of kindness, of goodness. That great Ish Chesed, that true Ish Chesed, he will testify to the fact that I have this unusual ability. There's an entire story behind this, he said. He continued on telling the story. One time, he told, there was a group of wise men, very wise men, sitting and discussing the topic of wisdom. Each one boasted about his chachm, his wisdom. First one boasted that he had the power to bring forth, to produce, through his chachma, he could produce iron from the ground, from the earth. From the earth itself, he could produce iron, which of course is unusual. How do you convert it? But this was his special talent, wisdom. He knew how to do this. Second one boasted that he could produce a different type of metal. Another one said, I can go much further than that. I can produce actual silver. That's very precious. Much more precious than what you can produce. Produce this from the earth. Next one said, I can produce gold. That's still more precious than silver. Each one showing a superiority in wisdom. Next one stated, I can produce the weapons of war, which are very beneficial, very destructive, of course, but beneficial to a country who is at war. This is destroying sometimes is constructive. You destroy an enemy who's attacking, you aid yourself in defense of yourself. Next one said that he could produce these same metals that you speak about. He said, I could produce these metals not from the earth, but from other things. Actually convert one type of item to a different one. This takes much greater, deeper wisdom. This continued on, each one boasting about what he can do, how he can use his wisdom, because there are a lot of things that are discovered or invented through wisdom. Gunpowder, for example, Benazol brings an example. Other things that, too, require wisdom, require scientific knowledge and wisdom. Each one made these statements about his great chachma. Finally, one of them spoke up and said, I am wiser than all of you. Everything you boasted you can accomplish, there's nothing compared to my wisdom, the extent of my wisdom, because I am as wise as the day. All the wise men who sat there, as wise as they were, could not understand what he meant. And he said, I'm as wise as the day. And he said to them, I'll explain. All the wisdom that you speak about, every one of this type of accomplishment, wisdom, if you gather all those together, put them all together, they're equals to a certain element of time. So that all of yours combined may be only one single hour of time, equal to 1 hour of time. Even though each wisdom itself is taken from a different origin. a different time origin. For example, when Hashem created the world, on each one of the 6 days of creation, there was created this certain type of wisdom or a certain type of element on that day. The wisdom required is to select these different elements, combine them, and make it into a compound. He takes something from a certain time of day, one of the days, one of those elements, combine it with the element created on a different day, and take a few of those, combine them, you have the compound which will produce iron, for example, or a different type of invention, different type of knowledge. But all these chokhmahs, these wisdom, are taken from the day in which there was this creation, in which there was this combination. So that if we take all the wisdoms you speak about, this last wise man said, they could amount to only one single hour, a total of 1 hour taken from all of creation, the time of the 6 days. But I, he said, I am as wise as a complete day. This was all the statement of the last Chacham. This is still a story being told by this Betler. Betler who stammered. And the Betler said, he added, I was there, too. And I spoke up, and I said to this last wise man, I asked him, as which day you claim that you are wise as a complete day? My question is, you are as wise as which day? This last Chacham paused in shock, in surprise, and said to all the wise men, this Betler, this stammerer, is wiser than I am, because he asked me as which day I am as wise as which day. That question proves he's wiser than I am. However, my answer to his question is, I am as wise as any day that you wish. Now, this last Chacham said, the one who answered the stammerer's question, the Betler's question. Now, of course, you may all ask, if my answer is as wise as any day, how come that this Betler is still wiser than I am? Why doesn't this prove that I am wiser than him, since my reply is I'm as wise as any day he wishes? The answer is, there is a story behind this. He said, I will tell you the story. There is a Ish Chesed Ha'emes. There is a tzaddik, usually great holy tzaddik, was called a true Ish Chesed, true person, individual of kindness, extreme kindness. The word Chesed, of course, is generally applied to the mitzvah of tzedakah, charity, mitzvah of maisim tovim, good deeds, mitzvah of gmilas chasodim. Gmilas chasodim means those good deeds that are done, not necessarily in the sense of charity. A person can do a good deed to the wealthiest man on earth. If he's ever in trouble and needs advice to extricate himself, to save himself, be rescued from a dilemma, this kind of advice alone is worth more than charity and is given to a wealthy person. That's why the Gemara says Gemilas Chasodim is greater than Tzedakah, because it could be done to a person who is wealthy also, not just to the poor. Gemilas Chesed can be done to a person who no longer is alive. Going to one's funeral is a Gemilas Chesed. Tzedakah is done only to those who are alive. Alive and poor. Tzedakah generally means money alone. Gemilas Chesed could be any kind of good deed, and therefore this is higher than tzedakah. So the word Chesed could apply to, would apply to Gemilas Chasodim, or tzedakah, or any good deed, Maisim Tevim. There is a Tzaddik Emes, who is called the Ish Chesed Ha'emes, the true Ish Chesed. one who assembles, the one who compiles, the one who accumulates all the good deeds that are done. They're all under his care. Now, this Kvad Peh, this Betler, we speak now about the Betler. We know that the word the Betler in this case is speaking only about the Betler who was a Kvad Peh, who stammered, who seemed to have difficulty in speech, but whose speech, as we said, was perfect. This Betler, he said, is the one that goes around and gathers the chesed, the chasodim, the true chasodim, that are done throughout the world, and he brings this, these chasodim, to this true ish chesed, this tzaddik emes, who is called the true ish chesed. Through this fact, that these chasodim are brought to this tzaddik, through this fact there are created the days, the hours, the time. Time itself is created. The fact that these chasodim are brought to this true tzaddik, this tzaddik shel chesed, ish chesed emes, tzaddik of chesed, through this the days and time is created. Now, Agav, we learn from here, if so, since this is fact, that time itself was created, each person is dictated to by time. Each person lives according to time. Each person gets up in the morning, he has a day, he looks forward to living that day. It therefore is up to the person to create his own day. Since time is created by the good deeds, the chasodim, therefore each person can actually create his own life, create the day that is about to come forth. Now the question, of course, is, didn't Hashem create the world? Didn't Hashem create time? The answer is, Hashem created the 6 days, the seventh day, the Shabbos, and then La'asais, Ashebora Elikim La'asais. All this is created by Hashem La'asais, to continue creating. There must be a recreation every single day, every week, as time goes on. The world was created up to that moment. There must be a new creation as time goes on. And this new creation, we have the kaviyachol, the partnership between humans and Hashem in creating this time. As the Gemara says, for example, a person who says vayechulu on Friday night, that means that he states his implicit faith in Hashem, complete, pure faith that Hashem created the world originally from nothing. There was no creation before this world. There was nothing in existence before this world except Hashem himself. There were no prehistoric ages or eras. This world prior to 5,738 years ago did not exist. There was nothing in existence, no dinosaurs of any kind, none of the elements that exist. There was absolutely iron, nothing except Hashem himself. That person who makes that statement on Friday night with true faith, that person becomes a partner with Hashem for the creation of the new week, the new creation after Shabbos. So we see there too many ways in which a person can actually create time, create the world, or at least to sustain the world, keep it going. Here we see the fact that by doing mitzvahs, chasodim, this is what creates time. Time must be constantly created. And now we come to the general statement that this Betler is the one who assembles or gathers up all the good deeds, all the chasodim shel emes. He brings it to this tzaddik emes of chesed. And with this, a day is created. Now, to continue, he said, to elaborate more on this, there exists a mountain, a special mountain. On top of that mountain stands a large rock. And from that rock, there comes forth a stream of water. That's on the mountain, the rock from which comes forth a stream of water. Secondly, every item that has life contains a heart. The heart is the center, the core of life. Every living thing, whether it is human, animal life, bird life, fish life, everyone, every item has a heart, and that heart is the center, the very center of this organism that keeps it alive. Now, the fact is that the entire world, the whole world itself, is an organism too. The world itself is a complete organism with a face, with hands, legs, different parts of the body. And this whole world has a heart too. There is such a thing as the heart of the world. But this heart of the world has such deep, heartfelt emotion to it, and it contains so much emotion, which means that there is a person who is soft-hearted, there's a person who is hard-hearted. There's a lev ha'evan, like a heart of stone, a person who has no feelings. There's one who is who has deep feelings, very deep, very considerate, very emotional. One who feels in his heart a compassion for everything that needs help. So the world itself, the heart of the world, is so deep in emotion, so soft in this respect, that there is more heart to it, more feeling to it, to the tip of this heart, to the heart itself, of course, too, has a whole form. The heart itself of the world is in the shape of an organism too, as we said, with a face, hands, feet, and so on. And the nail on the foot of this heart, the part of the heart which is considered to comparable to the nail of the foot, which means the least feeling item that exists, but since it is part of this heart of the world, has more feeling and more depth than any other heart that exists. This is the softness and feeling of this special heart, the heart of the world. Now, combine these two, on the mountain, this stone, the well, stands at one point, extreme side of the world. The heart of the world stands at the other end of the world. They are an entire world apart. This heart stands facing this well and stands there with a powerful yearning, a desire to get to reach this well. The heart has a strong yearning desire to reach this well. The well itself is a symbol. What is this well that flows from this rock on this mountain? This is the symbol of the origin of all the good, well. Then it also, this is the good, the nekudas teves, the good points that are contained in each person, everybody. Benazol brings that everybody in the world has a nekuda teva. Nekuda teva, a good point, a good characteristic, a good quality that others do not have. You can have an ordinary, simple person who might have a good quality that is so pure, in this respect, in his respect, better than a great tzaddik. A great tzaddik is one who is good in everything, but he might not excel extremely in one certain point. There could be one person who, in that one respect, excels. There might be a person, let's say, who would go out of his way to help others. He'd go out in the middle of the night to see if he can find somebody, some wayfarer, some wanderer, somebody who's hurt. A big tzaddik might not go that far to that extent. Or there could be a person who says tillim throughout the entire night or all day long. A big tzaddik might not spend all that time on it. Each person does possess a certain good quality that others do not have. Therefore, the Benelal says each person should come close, become friendly with, join together with others so that they can share their good nekudas. Each one should learn from the other his good nekudas. There is, however, an origin, a shodesh, for all these good nekudas, And that is that Shodesh, that origin, is this well, represented by this well in the story. So that the heart of the world, which means actually the heart of each person in the world, yearns truly, heart speaking about the heart of the soul in that person, yearns for that well from which she can derive these good nekudas, these good points. So now, I continue on saying that this, the yearning of this heart is so great that it cries out to reach this well. The well, too, has a strong desire for the heart of the world. However, this heart has two items from which it suffers, two items that weaken it, make it very weak. One is the fact that the sun continually pursues, harasses this heart, and the burning rays of the sun seek to destroy the heart. So the heart suffers because the heart is constantly exposed to the sun, the rays of the sun, and this is one of the items that make the heart suffer and weaken the heart very much. The second item that weakens the heart is the fact that the strong craving desire takes a lot of energy and strength from the heart itself. The constant yearning, where the part of its own self is given out, emanates through this yearning and crying for this well. In fact, it stands before the well with a strong cry and desire. These are the two things that weaken the heart. And when the heart must at times rest a little to sustain itself, to get back some strength, then there comes a large bird, spreads its wings over this heart, protects it from the sun. Then during that short period of time, the heart has a rest, a slight rest, and it rejuvenates its powers. So through that period of rest, it regains enough energy to continue on. But even then, even at this time of rest, it still looks with a strong yearning towards this well. What is meant by these two points that weaken the heart? Nosazal brings Benazal's words that the sun that beats down upon the heart, the sun stands for the fire of the Yetzirah, the Satan. The Yetzirah, the evil desires that seek to destroy a person's heart, seek to destroy a person. The evil taivas that the Satan injects into a person's heart, this seeks to destroy the heart, because the power of will, of life in the heart, is then turned towards, geared to that which is usur, evil. And this, of course, could destroy the person, chas v'shalom. So this is when the heart is turned to evil. There's a second case that's dangerous for the heart, too, and that is sometimes the ribui oil, too much light, too much goodness. A person who is suddenly filled with a strong desire to serve Hashem. So he makes everything void, hefker. He drops his job, drops his work, drops his family. He goes on to 22 hours of the day in tefillah, in tehillah, constant fasting. He overdoes what he should do. Overdoing it is very dangerous too. It could destroy himself, either physically, or he could snap. By overdoing it, he could suddenly find he loses interest. There was too much of an effort put into it, and this broke through strain. This broke his spirit, and he drops completely, chas v'shalom. A person going too far at one time could actually lose out much more. It's like a person who goes towards the light, and too much light, instead of giving him the ability to see, can actually blind him. A person must go bihadroga, with a restraint, slowly, gradually, to rise up in stature, darga. So these are the two things that seek to destroy the heart. But at times, this bird, this large bird, spreads its wings. Zayin HaKodesh says this means the kanfei horeya, the wings of the lung that give the air, cool air, to the heart that can burn feverishly, the wings of the lung that beat upon the, fan the heart, and cool off the feverish heat of the heart. These wings of the bird referred to the Knafayim, Bal Knafayim Yagidava, refer to the power of speech, power of Teda, and Tefillah. Person through Tefillah, through his bidedness, speaking to Hashem, Mispawat Hashem, Hashem, guide me. Guide me, help me. Help me how? Guide me to know exactly what to do, how to serve you. I shouldn't go too far, and I shouldn't do too little, because both are harmful. So this brings the person back in line. It takes him away from the Yetzer Hara. It also stops his too quick ascent, which could prove his downfall, Chas V'Shalom. This is what is meant by the wings of the bird that protect the heart. Also, the words, the spoken words of Tefillah and Teda. Study of Teda, the Gemara says, the words of the Teda are ke'ish, like fire. Hashem says, my words of Teda are like fire. And the study of these words of Teda, fire, will in turn combat a fire of desire, of passion injected to a person by the Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Bisho, Yetzer is Begimatria Ish. Fire of evil desire, of temptation, can be overcome, defeated through the fiery words of Teda. This is what's meant by the desire of the heart to come to this well, and the fact that the heart suffers. Two reasons. At times there is naicha, there is rest for the heart, because of the bird which protects it, which means the words of Teda and Tefillah. Now he continued on the story and said, however, since there is such a strong yearning for the heart to reach the well to get to the heart, why doesn't the heart continue on? Why doesn't it go to the well and let these two unite? The answer is that the heart could not exist if for a moment it stops seeing this well. It must see the well constantly. The nature is that if something is on top of a mountain and you stand at a distance, you could see that item. If you stand too close to the mountain, the item is covered from sight. So as the heart begins to approach the mountain, then he loses sight of the well. Therefore, he must stand at a distance. There's no alternative, there's no solution to that. He stands at that distance with this strong yearning and desire to get to the well. Now, there is the major problem. The problem is that this well has no time. There's no time at all for this well. It has no time of its own. In order to exist in this world, everything requires time. You cannot exist here without time, because the whole world is based upon the concept of time. Time, of course, in essence, is something material. Spiritually, there is no time. In heaven, there is no such thing as time. Heaven is above, it's called a malam and azman, above the concept of time. And that is why, as Zayin HaKodesh says, a person, when he dies, comes to heaven, he does not age. He could go through his whole process, trial and court, reliving his entire 70 years of life in a span of less than 1 second, yet he has actually gone through this entire 70 years. Benazel says the wiser a person is, the more he understands that time is nothing. Until you get to the point of the Malam and Azman completely, above the concept of time, where time plays no role at all. So time is relative. It's only in this physical world what time plays any role. But despite that, it is impossible to be part of this world unless you are part of time. This well has no time of its own because this well is spiritual. How could this well exist in this world? The time that this well needs is given to it by this heart. The heart gives this well a gift of one day. Each day the heart gives the well a gift of one day, and that is how the well exists for another day. At the end of that day, there's no time left for the well. The well is about to cease to exist. It would leave this world, and if the well would leave, the heart cannot live without that well. The yearning for that well is so strong that if the well would disappear, the heart too would pass away. So when it gets close to the end of the day, as the day draws to a close, they begin to speak to each other, the heart and the well, begin to bid farewell to each other through special songs, songs of deep feeling, deep emotional songs, a strong ahava and yearning, and a very tragic sense, sad sense of bidding farewell. Because once the well would leave, the well would be gone. With the well gone, the heart could not continue to live, so the heart too would become nostalgic, would pass away. Therefore the sadness. Now this Ish Chesed HaEmes, this great Tzaddik of Chesed, is the one that supervises this, he watches over this, and when the day draws to a close, this Ish Chesed, this great Tzaddik of Chesed, then brings time. We recall, we said before, that time is created through these good deeds of Chesed. This Ish Chesed, who has all these, he's the master of all these good deeds, through which time is created, has a new day created through these good deeds. He brings this day to the heart. The heart then gives this day to the well. There is another day for the well to exist. And it's, again, this whole relationship between the heart and the well for another day. When the tzaddik brings this day to the heart to give it to him, he brings it with all of the beauty of songs and the gunim, the beautiful wordings, prose, poetry, all these kinds of combinations of special words, tunes, with which the time is created. Because there are different types of tunes, different types of poetry, different types of days, create different kinds of days. There is a Sunday created, there is a Monday, there is a special day, a holiday, the Shchedesh, holidays. So that each different day that is created is, comes with its different forms of tunes. All this time is brought by, compiled by this Ish Chesed. And of course, this means then, in essence, simply that the Ish Chesed is the one that gathers this time, gives it to the heart, in turn to the world. This keeps the world alive. The world cannot exist without the heart of the world. Now, the Betler we're speaking about, since he is the one that knows all these tunes, he is the one that gives this time, or these chasadim, to the Ish HaChesed. Betler is the one that goes around collecting these chasadim, bringing it to the Ish HaChesed, through which time is created. Therefore, finally, this last Chacham who said, I am as wise as the day, said, this Betler is wiser than I am, because I am as wise as any day that's true. But whatever day I'm as wise at, that was created by this Betler, who is the one that gathers the chasadim which create that day. Now, the lesson, the Moshe Zalsuz, is a very important lesson here for us to understand. We say that the day is about to end, the heart is about to pass away, the well is about to depart, there must be creation of a new day. We're speaking about the end of a day. Which is why we find that the time between Mincha and Maariv, the end of a day, is most important. According to the Rizal, it's a time of great din, great judgment. It's a day, it's a moment of judgment, a time when there has to be created anew the next day. And that's why a person should strive so hard then to daven with kavana, this time of din. That's why we find, for example, the holiest time on Shabbos. Shabbos Kodesh, which is the holiest day, in itself, this most sacred moment of Shabbos is towards the end of the Shabbos. This which is called the Raivu Deraivan, Rotzen Shebetzonis, the time when, towards the end, when Meshe Rabbeinu, Yosef HaTzadik, David HaMelech were all nostalgic. All three, Meshe, Yosef, David, Gematria Tefillah. Time when you have this tefillah, these shidos, tishbochos, what are these special songs and poetry? That's the tefillahs. These tefillahs that themselves come with time. They create the time. And that's why at that time, that is the most sacred moment, the most awesome moment of the Shabbos Kodesh itself. And a person who has kavana then with his tefillah is doing his part towards creating the new day. Imagine then, Nachman Chagrinzal says, imagine then how important it is when we speak about the end of the year, last day of the year, end of the Shoshana. You can understand why the Benazal says that the Shoshana, little, is the most important moment, because that is the end of the year, the creation of a new year. As we said here, there are different days of value. There's a regular weekday, there's an Ish Chodesh, there are holidays. Imagine then the creation of the new year. When a day comes to an end, a new day is created. When the last day of the year comes to an end, Erev Rosh Hashanah, there is the creation of a new day, which means the new year. So how a person should be mechavein then, Erev Rosh Hashanah, that last tefillah of the year, the last mincha, Abinadol said, those who understand, my madrega, my Erev Rosh Hashanah is greater than the Shana of great tzaddikim. And this is the duty, the ability of every single person, the chiyuv, the responsibility, each person to know that it's up to him, through his tefillahs, his teda, to be able to create the period of time that ensues after this day. And that's why, too, we stress the mincha of Friday, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, daven mincha on Friday, but then, with a minyan, davening on time, to show Kabbalah Shabbos, we bring the Shabbos in earlier, through the power of this mincha of Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Because this is the creating of the new week, the end of the week, the Shabbos Kodesh, the end of the chayil going into Kedusha. There is this connection, that's called the Tesis Michael HaKodesh. This is what the Ish Chesed Shel Emes does. He takes these chasodim, which are the creators of time, which create a new day. He takes this day created by these chasodim, gives them to the heart. The heart, in turn, gives it to the well. And that way the world can exist for another day. Of course, this means keeping the world going. The world cannot exist without Teda and Tefillah, which create time. Now, this betler, this kvad peh, is the one that goes around, collects these chasodim. Which means that these chasodim, good deeds that create time, that's teda, tefillah, meisim teivim, have no bearing whatsoever upon, have no relationship with any words that are spoken that are not kedusha. Therefore, since the normal words of the world are words that are not holy, that are what a betelim, worthless words. That's why it seems that he stammers. He cannot speak because he has no connection with those words at all. In truth, he knows the most beautiful songs and poetry because all the chasodim come with these songs in igunim, of which he is the master of all. Now he said to this couple, before when I met you, I said to you, I bless you to be as I am. I now give you this power as a complete gift. You should be just as I am. And so this brought about a tremendous celebration, very deep, happy feeling between this couple and among all those assembled, and there was a great rejoicing. This was the story of the third Betel. We come to the story of the fourth Betel on the fourth day, which we'll take up the next time. Again, to keep in mind that we're speaking about Avi Tzadik Emes, the one that told the story. Aben Ezel is the one that knows about these tzaddikim because he himself is the one that is composed of all these midos, svidos.